Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation. This is the podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and on this edition, we have the half-year financial results later, plus coming up an exciting competition for you. Now, joining us remotely is Charles Woodburn, Chief Executive of BAE Systems. Charles, hello, how are you?
Very well, Tim. Good to be here again.
And also welcome to the podcast for the very first time. It's Brad Grieve, who's Group Finance Director. Brad, hello.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Brad. Now, you're both in the Farnborough office for the half-year financial results, which have just come out, as I mentioned, maintaining social distancing there, of course. Charles, before we talk about those results, what have you been up to since we last spoke?
Well, Tim, it's been a busy few weeks. I had the pleasure of visiting the naval ships team up on the Clyde in Scotland. I've had quite a number of customer meetings. We've had executive committee meetings, board meetings, and, of course, a fair bit of time preparing for our half-year results announcement.
Okay, more from Charles in just a moment. We should say again that we are actually putting this podcast together remotely. That's to say, I'm not in the same building as Brad and Charles. So, Brad, I can't actually see you, but welcome to the podcast for the very first time. Here's an easy question to get you going. Tell us a bit about yourself, Brad.
Well, you might have heard from my accent. I'm from America, so I was born in Oklahoma. And I don't know the Tiger King, so I get that a lot. it was about this time last year I was signing the contracts to join the company. So it's been a pretty amazing year. I took over as CFO in April from Pete, so right in the middle of the pandemic. So it's been quite an eventful start.
And I know that in previous careers you've worked across the world. How is Farnborough comparing to some of the nations you've worked in the past?
I've lived and worked in Nigeria, Italy, France, Brazil, States, and actually I've lived at certain different times, about 15 years in total in the UK, so this is a bit of a second home for me, so it's really nice to be here, and Farnborough is a pretty nice part of the world.
And how have you been handling lockdown then, Brad, and how has it been with you working in your new role remotely for the large part?
Yeah, it's definitely surreal to try to do this job from a dining room table. So that's been quite an experience. Not how I drew it up, for sure, but I think, like the company, you know, figured out a way through all this. I think we're holding up okay, but looking forward to getting back to some sort of semblance of normal again. You know, it's remarkable how I've seen the whole organization sort of adapt and cope with some pretty significant challenges. So it's been really good to see.
Okay, well, let's move on then to the half-year financial results. As we speak, I know you've both had a very busy day. Charles, it's clearly an unprecedented period that these figures cover. How would you sum up the first 6 months of this year for the business?
Well, Tim, as we've already said, on previous podcasts, no one could have predicted the challenges we've faced so far in the first half of 2020. And inevitably, our operations have been affected by the pandemic. But despite all of that, we've delivered a robust performance thanks to what I would characterize as a fantastic team effort. We came into 2020 in a strong position. And when the pandemic hit, we demonstrated agility, creativity, and commitment in the way we went about our work. We very quickly adapted our ways of working to keep people safe and continue to deliver customer priorities. And because of all of that, we were able to achieve a number of very significant program milestones, many of which we've discussed on these podcasts. In addition, we progressed the two US-based acquisitions, which, in my opinion, provide excellent opportunities to accelerate our technology strategy. And finally, we made a £1 billion one-off cash injection into our UK pension scheme to accelerate the deficit reduction. More on that later. So overall, I would characterize the first half as a good performance under some difficult circumstances, driven by pride in what we do, a strong customer focus, and looking out for each other and putting safety first. And I think we can all be very proud of how we responded to the challenges and what we've achieved in the first half of the year. So I would like to take this opportunity now to thank everybody for their outstanding contribution in the first half.
Okay, Brad, well, take us through then some of the main points of this year's half-year financial results in just a bit more detail, if you would.
Sure. So we talk a lot about resilience, and a lot of questions about government budgets and so on affecting growth. And you know, thematically, what I see is, first of all, we're in a growing business, and you can see that underlined by the fact that demand has increased, and you see that in the order number. That's up 11% half year to half year, with just under 9.4 billion in orders for the half year. And then when you talk about resilience again, you see how the sales numbers held up, and we've actually increased through, obviously, the very significant challenges of COVID. We've managed to have sales that are up 4% half year to half year. So it's a pretty impressive performance that the organization has collectively given. And then, of course, on the profit, EBITDA down 11%. And that's really just driven through the under recoveries that we have because of the COVID crisis primarily. And so, you know, that is a dent that we've taken. But I think we've actually held up a lot better than where we thought we'd be just a couple of months ago at the half year. So I think it's a resilient number. And then, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, how organizations deal with crises. And of course, employee safety is the primary concern. But after that, it's absolutely cash and liquidity. And on that score, you know, we actually generated a positive cash inflow in terms of operating cash of 120 million. And that compares at the half year last year of negative 309 million as an outflow. So it just goes to show the focus that we've had on liquidity is really paying off. And you see that in the operating cash flow number. And of course, we made a pension deficit payment to help reduce that deficit. And that if you add that back into our cash flow, of course, it brings us to a negative outflow number. So it's a really resilient set of numbers.
Obviously, many companies have had to suspend dividend payments during the pandemic crisis. What's the latest on the BAE dividend for shareholders, Brad?
Yeah, so we were excited to resume paying dividends. And you're right that we actually deferred the final year 2019 dividend payment right as the crisis began. And that was one of those key decisions that that we had to go through together and as a board. And the decision to defer, not cancel, it was something that we, I think, communicated well to the market. But as the crisis progressed, a lot of companies also followed suit and canceled dividends, actually. And so we got bucketed in some ways with those companies that had canceled. And so I think that showed up in our share price a little bit, which had it started to drag a little bit over the last couple of months. So, you know, being able to make that final payment, which we announced today, was, I think, a really good message and a show of confidence and strength. So we did announce that 13.8p dividend, which was deferred from last year. And on top of that, we announced the payment of an interim dividend for the half year period of 9.4p. And that's the exact same amount that we paid this time last year. So being able to resume these dividend payments is a really important part of our capital allocation. And I think that was well received.
Charles, let me bring you back into the proceedings. What have you had to say to the market about the outlook for the second half of the year looking forward?
Well, the key messages that we put out are that customer demand for our capabilities remains strong. And we saw that in the orders in the first half. We've got a healthy order backlog and a well-positioned portfolio with long-term positions on key programs and a very strong pipeline of opportunities as we look into the future. So it's worth remembering that while there may be challenging economic times ahead, the governments in our key markets continue to put a high priority around defence and security. And it's also at the same time worth thinking around defence playing an important role, not just in the security of nations, but in economic prosperity too, especially on the back of the COVID pandemic. So providing our recovery from COVID-19 continues, we expect the defence business to continue to respond positively and deliver a second half performance very much in line with our original expectations for 2020. And that's a really good position to be in, but one that we can never take for granted. So I would say all of us have to stay focused on, first and foremost, keeping our people safe, also delivering customer commitments and demonstrating our competitiveness and value.
And given all that's going on, it sounds a very upbeat situation from what you've both said. But Brad, what's the reaction to the results been elsewhere?
Well, if you look at the market, I mean, as I'm speaking to you now, we're up 5%. So, you know, it reflects, I think, a very good reception. I think the announcement that we're resuming dividends was a big part of that, I think. But if you look at all of our numbers that I mentioned, you know, from sales to profit even to cash, I mean, we actually beat all of the expectations in the market with our half year results. And then on top of that, being able to resume dividends, I think really carried the day. So, you know, being up 5%, you know, I think it's a good vote of confidence from the market.
I think one of the messages that we put out that in this morning's call was around the resilience that we've built into the business. I mean, the steps that we took to respond to the early days of lockdown, in terms of both getting people back to work, you know, with the support of the trade unions, you know, which was really winning the hearts and minds, showing people that we could do this safely. And that resilience is what we spoke about this morning. And I think that was well received. It was seen somewhat in the numbers, but in terms of our confidence for the second half, I think that was something we were very clear on in this morning's commentary.
Okay, now under normal circumstances, of course, I know that both of you would now be going out and holding shareholder meetings. Presumably they will still take place, but what will the form be, Charles?
Yes, we are still doing a roadshow of sorts, but it's very much a virtual roadshow starting tomorrow with you know, various shareholder engagements. So, you know, that starts, but it unlike in prior periods where we, you know, get out and see face-to-face our London-based shareholders, Boston, New York, West Coast, you know, this will be done very much in a virtual way.
Charles, Brad, thank you very much. We'll talk about virtual events a bit more next with Farnborough Connect. Our conversation. Now, always a significant event in the BAE Systems calendar is the Farnborough Air Show. This year, the show went digital with a virtual Farnborough Connect event. Charles, sounds fascinating. Tell us a bit more about this event and how you were involved.
Well, Tim, like many exhibitions and shows around the world, the Farnborough Air Show was unfortunately cancelled due to the pandemic. The team responsible for the show, however, decided to run a virtual Farnborough Air Show called Farnborough Connect, and I was involved in a discussion panel with some of my peers from across industry, and delighted to announce as part of the virtual show that we've progressed to trilateral discussions with Saab and Leonardo on our Tempest program to develop the next generation combat air technologies. Now, it's certainly true that you can't replace the fantastic feeling of attending an air show and seeing all the aircraft and technology firsthand. But I thought it was a really good and innovative way to bring people together to engage with different audiences on different topics.
And the kind of innovation that you saw there at Farnborough Connect, is that the kind of thing you're now seeing more of?
Yeah, it's certainly true, Tim, that we're seeing more and more innovative ways of bringing people together virtually within the company and with our customers and partners. You know, Farnborough Connect was a great example of that. But I've also seen other outstanding examples, such as cameras being set up at our sites to enable our customers and partners to inspect work remotely. You know, these are just some of the, you know, good examples that we're seeing across the business. It's important that we capture and sustain these learnings from this experience and build them positively into our future ways of working. I think there may be some silver linings that come out of what has been a terrible pandemic. And some of these innovative ways of working are things that we will want to carry forward with us into the future.
Okay, Charles, thank you for that. Coming up next, we have questions from your colleagues for you and Brad. Well, as previously mentioned, Brad Grieve is still with us and joins us for questions on this podcast. Brad, this first question is for you.
Hi, Brad. It's Tammy Morgan here from Warship Support Maritime Services. Could you please explain why the group share of the pension deficit has increased so much after the company made a £1 billion payment?
Yeah, so thanks, Tammy. So we make a distinction in the pension calculations, and it's a bit technical, but it's important to understand. What we report on the balance sheet is an accounting methodology. It's the IAS 19 standard. And it's a standard that makes us use the AA corporate bonds to determine the interest rate, which is used to come to a present value of liabilities. And of course, interest rates have swung with great volatility over these last 6 months. I mean, we've been from a high to a low of over 150 basis points in those rates. And to give you a sense of the sensitivity, a 10 basis point swing gives you a $600 million change in liabilities, so a huge swing. And even at points in time, in March, for instance, we had a position of an accounting deficit was only $1.5 billion compared to the $6 billion that you see today. So just give you a sense of the volatility. That's the accounting standard. So we have to report that on the balance sheet. What I would like to really draw your attention to is what we call the funding position, and that's really what matters the most. And the funding position uses a discount rate to come to a liability calculation that's more reflective of the assets and the investment strategy that we have for those assets. And under that methodology, the deficit is far lower. And it's a more reflective picture of the true underlying liability that we have. And here, I'm pleased to say that the funding position has improved since where we were at the end of last year. So, you know, I'm sorry, it's a bit of a technical discussion to have, but what I would really just like to emphasize is that our pension situation is improving. That £1 billion investment that we made to reduce the deficit is going to work. Our assets have increased since the end of last year. But what's changed is just the liabilities based on the accounting definitions of how we calculate that. What's really important here is that we're committed to ensuring that our pension obligations are met. We've got good investment strategies to make sure that the liabilities that we have under the scheme are fully funded.
Brad, thanks for that. And Tammy, thank you for the question. Brad, really good of you to join us on the Our Conversation podcast. Thank you for talking us through some of the detail regarding the results. And we look forward to seeing you again on a future edition of the podcast.
Thank you very much, Tim. I look forward to that.
Right, let's get our next question. Charles, this one's for you.
Hi, Charles. Richard Gaskell from Weapon Systems UK in Barrow. With the second wave of coronavirus widely expected to have an impact towards the end of the year or early 2021, do you think the working practices we've adopted in the last few months will be enough to mitigate the health, productivity, and profit effects to the workforce and the business?
So that's a very good question, Richard. So on the call this morning, I did speak a fair bit about resilience, and I think all the steps that we've taken and continue to take across our work sites, I think that they give us this degree of resilience for whatever may come with respect to COVID in the months to come. I think we are seeing already some secondary spikes in infection, local lockdowns caused by that, and indeed there is always the risk of a second wave. But I think, you know, we've learned a lot now of how to adapt our workplaces, and with a number of people now enabled to work from home, you know, my belief is that were those circumstances to happen, were we to get a second wave, that the impact on the business will be much less than it was in Q2. I'm not saying that we'd be immune to that, and we have to be sensitive and thoughtful around this, but it will be much less than it was in Q2. And it's for that reason, I think, that we've now built in a degree of resilience into the business.
Okay, Charles and Brad, thanks for answering those questions. We'll have details of our competition in just a moment, but if you've got a question that you'd like us to ask or you'd like to ask yourself on the podcast, then do get in touch. All you have to do is email us, and our address is ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. So to our competition now. This time it's the chance for you to win one of five superb Garmin smartwatches. To win, all you have to do is answer this question. We met Brad Gree for the first time on this podcast, and he told us where in America he was born. But where was it? In which US state was Brad Greve born? Email your answer, please, to the usual address, ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. And we'll have the names of the winners on our next podcast. Now, we're coming to the end of this month's show, but before we leave, Charles, any thoughts for colleagues at this particular time?
Well, Tim, we've got a busy second half of the year, and I know many people are going to be taking a well-earned break in the coming weeks. And for those taking some time out, I really do hope you all have a great break and a chance to recharge the batteries. I myself are going to be taking a couple of weeks. Staying in the UK, given the challenges of travelling at the moment, and we haven't quite figured out as a family how we're going to spend that time, but we'll be looking for some things to do, and I myself are looking to recharge the batteries. As I said already, we are seeing, sadly, some spikes in infection in many countries, which just shows that we're not out of the woods yet on this pandemic. We see governments and public health authorities battling on many fronts to bring the virus under control. So I would just like to end by saying that we must all remain vigilant for ourselves and our colleagues and our loved ones. And please do follow all your local public health advice and take great care.
Okay, Charles, thank you for that. And I hope you get to recharge your batteries. And I'll talk to you again shortly. Thanks also to Brad for joining us on this edition of the podcast. On the next edition of our conversation, we will, of course, continue to keep you updated with the latest news from around the business. But until then, from me, Tim Smith, Brad Grieve, and Charles Woodburn, it's goodbye.
Our conversation, back next month.